Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Curly, your fringe is everything I've ever dreamed of.
Is it?
That's what I was trying to achieve when I had a fringe. And I was looking back at, because somebody asked me something about me tear trough filler. And I looked back at the highlight to see, because whatever question it was, and I was like, I'm gonna refer back to it. I was like, oh, there's a highlight. So I went to look at it to make sure the info was in it. And my fucking fringe. The fucking state of the thing. The fringe that you have right now, that's what I meant.
The amount of people that have wrote to me and said the same, being like, so I wanted that fringe and instead I came out with like full on, you know, primary school 1998. Yeah, like funny.
You're very welcome along to the Unpopular Opinion Podcast. My name is Jen. I didn't even tell Carla I was going to press record.
Yet. No, she just said,
you know what? I wanted to use that. I wanted to get it in about your fringe. Your fringe is like a main character.
It does have its own life. I'm going to set up a profile, Carla's Fringe.
Absolutely, you should.
Carla's Fringe podcast?
Yeah. Fuck's sake, like it's the third membered podcast. It really is.
Honestly. It's like, I've just clipped it back now, guys, for my own comfort. Yeah. For my own comfort. You know what I mean?
Tickling your eyelashes.
Yeah, it was actually. Now, in all fairness, I was told that if it's fucking wrecking my head in the middle, I can get that snipped up a little bit more. And they're like, and I was like, no, I love it the way it is. And they're like, yeah, give it a week. Mm. Give it a week and you'll be like, it's tickling my eyeballs.
Yeah, yeah. I know, it's fab.
Yeah.
It's lovely. I love it.
Oh,
I can't wait to meet her.
I feel like I've like dyed my hair a completely different colour with the, like, you know, that kind of level of, oh my God, it's such a change.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even that, you, a bit of a fucking fringe.
You do. You get a whole new personality with a fringe. Like, yeah, it takes years off you.
I know. I'm like, look at me go. You know what I mean? Oh, look at me fucking go. Well, I'll tell you, just very quickly before we get into everything, the whole reason why I got the fringe is because I'm going through a bit of hair loss.
Okay.
So I got my hair chopped up to make it look thicker. And I popped a fringe on so that I can wear my hair up more often now without people realising that I've got half the amount of hair that I usually did.
Right. Okay. Smart. Yeah. That's smart.
Yeah. Such a clever plan, to be honest. I was actually pat on my fucking back.
And like, TBH. I think if you can style it right and like come out with the results that you have, you look so put together even though your hair is like scraped back.
Yeah. That's what I mean. My hair is like in a little hun bun, but... It needs like it's going through changes, so it needs to. Mm. Do you know what I mean? But that's grand. Look, as I said, hair grows. It is what it is. It's a reaction to medication. I'm working with trichologists at the moment to figure it all out, and I have a lovely little hair routine, so it'll be back at some point in the future, please God.
Well, it's lovely. It's at least you don't you're not going through that phase, you know, where you're just like, we're waiting on it. I know you're waiting.
Yeah.
But it looks fucking great. So I'll just set.
I have to have a plan, lads, because like unfortunately I was blessed with my hair for a very long time. So as the great Claire Balding says, nobody gives a shite about their hair until it's on the floor.
That's yeah.
Very true. Very fucking true.
Right, so very correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. Let's dive right in, shall we?
Shall we?
I don't know if many people have been on the game with this one, but we're going to be talking about Who the Fuck Did I Marry in this one. It's been requested.
The internet's a sensation.
Yeah, well, we said that we were going to do it, so it was like, with last week's topic. What the fuck did we talk about last week?
We talked about the referendum, and then we talked about tradwives.
Tradwives, that was another TikTok one. It was a pick between that, but then we were like, tradwives, referendum, before it comes out. Anyway, so we're doing Who the Fuck Did I Marry, and I have endured the full 8 hours. 8 hours, Carla.
You love a video task. You are a different person with a video task. Do you know that?
I come so prepared when it's a video task.
Yeah. Big fucking slay.
I do. To be fair.
Yeah. Matt Lee, video task. Off she goes. She could take over the world, guys and girls.
Well, like, I'm a professional doom scroller. So this just, you know, I had something to watch and it was work as well. So it was grand, like.
Yeah, you were actually like, this is perfect. No, this is like my interest in line.
I think if I was ever to get on it, remember I did that podcast with Emma Dore and the Telewatch one during lockdown? Yeah. I loved that because all I had to do was watch series. It was fucking great. Yeah, yeah. Do you know? Yeah,
you didn't have to read a line.
I was like, lads, I'm fucking delighted with myself now. Having to like binge watch series to talk about it was great. But anyway, I watched it all.
I could never do that, by the way. So well done you. I could absolutely never do that.
Would you not?
Ever. No. I'm just, if you're like shoved that down, like some, again, I read the books for the Poxy podcast, you know what I mean? Yeah. I could do that. If you were like, get through the book, I'd be like,
because I was just about to comment on the fact that you'd inhale 5 books in the time that it took me to watch that series, like.
Literally, I know. But I just couldn't, I couldn't get with it. I don't know what it is. I think it's just because it's like, even when I've been invited onto to podcasts that like, it's hard to explain. It's like, even when I'm invited onto podcasts to talk about like Drag Race and stuff like that, I resent the fact that I have to go and watch those episodes. It's like, now in my time.
Oh, I get you.
Know? I don't know why, but it's just, I can't get like my head around it. Whether it's I can, as you said, I could swim, inhale, ingest, not a bother to me, books, no problem. If you're like, go and read that, I'd be like, yeah, 100%. Actually, on that, before we move into this, I did an article with Aoife Barry. She is a writer, and that will be out about romanticy, about the genre romanticy and about books. So if you are a book person, I will let you all know when that's out, and that will be out not this week, next week. She's doing a piece on it and I'm just quoted in it or whatever, but I know some people give a shite about that, so I will update you all.
You fucking nerd. Did you dress up for World Book Day, did you?
I should have seen the fucking, Jen was sweating to get that out. She was literally like, I could see her face, like she was waiting for me to finish my sentence. So she could be like, nerd, nerd, oh, nerd, I bully you in school, you fucking loser, you fucking loser.
No, I'm jealous. I'd love to be a reader.
You're like, would you ever pick up a fucking porno? Would you? Fucking virgin.
I turn on fucking Netflix, would you? Stop with that shit. You put them books, fucking Matilda.
Would you think you're Harry Potter?
No, I do. I'm jealous because I do. When I read a book, I love a book and I really enjoy a book. Do you know?
Yeah. Because every time we talk about a book, you're like, I love that, but I do understand how TV has become the medium because it's a bit more, but also I don't feel like people watch TV like they used to. People are now watching TV with their phone in one hand and their laptop on their lap. It's kind of
that's
like,
it. And that, or it's not like just normal TV, you know, like it's they're binging on a series or they're watching something that was that everybody's talking about kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely, boys and girls.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But anyway, back to, so that's just a little side hustle there, but back to your Mount Everest.
Yeah. Well, have you heard about it?
So I knew it was, and this is another thing. If someone's like, oh, it's, you know, when people are like, go to part two, I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, you had your chance. Bye. Mm-hmm. Don't care. Couldn't give a fuck. So with that, and I hate particularly when people are like telling a story on TikTok and it's so fucking long-winded. I'm like, tell me the, do you know the girl whose husband ran off with her mom?
I might.
You do. She went triple viral multiple times, but she's really being like, hi, my husband ran off with my mother. And this is because someone was like, oh, they got matching tattoos. And, you know, she was like, okay, let me bring you up to speed. So this is how I figured out this part. Mm. And it's, she's like, bang, bang, bang. Yeah. You're not being like, so one night I walk through the door. The dog is barking.
Yeah.
I'm like trying to talk to the dog, calm the dog down. And my husband, like, no, just tell me, be like, okay, we were together. This is the main time that we were together. We had two kids. They had twin girls together. Basically, her mom had been having affairs on her dad for a very long time. And she didn't realize, but it was only like one of the other things that she copped on at the time is that she had gotten a tattoo. And it was like, will you love me forever on her ribs? And she saw it when her mom invited them all to go swimsuit shopping. So as in the husband, the two kids and her other sister. When they were trying on swimsuits, she twigged the mum had a new tattoo. And she was like, did you get a new tattoo? And the mum was like, no, I didn't. And then used her hand to cover it up. No, I didn't. Imagine.
What the
fuck? Do you have something in your hand? No. Yeah, you do, I think, actually. It's like a dog. It's like, what's in your mouth? Nothing.
Yeah.
And anyway, eventually the mum was like, oh, yeah, ha. And then she was like, why did you lie about it? And she was like, oh, no reason. So weird. So then when she went back out to her husband, she was obviously like, my mum's acting like a fucking weirdo. And I have a feeling she's having another affair because, like, this is apparently what the mum does. I don't know. Very fucking weird. Oh, also, the reason why they were shopping for swimsuits is because the dad had just put in a hot tub into the house. I was like, that's nice. He's buying her a hot tub as she's out fucking shagging her son-in-law.
Jesus.
So weird.
Christ.
Yeah. And then when she went out to her husband, she was like, my mum got a new tattoo. And he was like, oh, I knew that. And she was like, sorry. But that didn't even twig. That didn't even register to her. It only registered after it all came out.
Yeah.
And she said to her sister, being like, did you know mum got a new tattoo? And she was like, yeah, everybody knows mum got this tattoo. And she was like, so I'm the only person. And then she tried to lie to me about it. So that's when she was like, it's another reason now, looking back, that I was like, this bitch is acting fishy.
Yeah.
But anyway, she's done multiple videos on, like, it was like, oh, we're calling out our cheater husbands during this trend. And it's like, here's who he married. Here's who he cheated on me with. And it's like, my mom. Do you know that kind of way? So you probably have seen her. As I said, she's twin girls and she seems to be over it. So good for her.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do think I can't remember her face, but it sounds familiar. But like you would, it's like, say with something like that, the way that her husband was like, oh yeah, I knew that. You absolutely wouldn't be suspecting that your man ran off with your bloke.
No.
Ever. You know what I mean?
Ever. Ever. Out of all the people
that
your mum would be shagging, you're not going to be like, oh, it's certainly my husband.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of an odd one. But anyway, on the back of that, I just saw so many people being like, have you seen Reese's Teases? Have you seen? And I was like, okay, now it's popular. I don't want nothing to do with it.
Oh, really? Okay. No, to be honest with you, she's very matter of fact. Now, she is a slow speaker, I'll say that, but very well spoken. Not at all one of these, like one of them, do you know what I mean? And I will say every video averages out at about 10 minutes. So it's like 50 videos, 10 minutes long. It's an 8-hour journey that you're going on with her. But she said, like, in other videos, she explains, like, I did this as a playlist in order and there is nothing visual for you to look at. It's literally just me talking to the camera. And she says, I did it that way so that you can put it down and it will automatically set to the next video once the first video finishes. She said, I specifically did that so that you could leave it on in the background.
clever bitch. Because what I will say is I am delighted that she can make money off this, do you know? Because I'm like, there's nothing better. Like with that girl that got the husband and the man, like they are making great quid, like not incredible money, but enough money to like take the fucking sting out of something like that happening to them, do you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't really mind when people like, obviously it's very entertaining for, it's very entertaining. Like when someone, did you see that trend where someone was like, tell me something that's like genuinely traumatic that you can laugh at now that happened to you, but genuinely traumatic. And like this girl was telling about like how her dad is like, she was like, my dad is the number one or is the oldest breakdancer in America, but he walked out on my family like when I was a kid. So I have to like watch the 6-year-old man fucking beatbox and fucking head spin. And she was like, you know, traumatic, but hilarious, you know, traumatic and hilarious. She was like, yeah. So, you know, he's been on all this stuff. And she was like, so can you imagine like our lives, like growing up and seeing the oldest beeper, the oldest breakdancer in the world and all this other stuff. And he was going to like world champions. So like that kind of stuff, I'm like, good for you, because at least they made a bit of quid.
Yeah.
Hopefully Risa Tisa has made a few punt now.
So there is a bit on that, because in order, and it's only in a few countries, you can't do it here. I think there's loads of countries that you can't do it. It's the Creator Fund, but
you can't do it in Canada.
Can you not?
No. So it's America. I think the UK has some version of it, but I don't think it's as profitable as the American one. And I don't know the other ones, but as far as I'm aware, there's very few countries, because for some reason I've been getting loads of questions about this lately on my Instagram.
We can charge people for a series. So like you can remember the thing that I sent you the other day where
so weird.
So yeah. So I sent Carla this video. It was spend a day with, I can't remember the child's name, but it was a child. And you could buy it. This series, spend
$249.
You could buy this to have like a POV of like basically her recording her baby child, not even like a toddler.
No, baby, like out the womb.
Spend a day with him for $249, like selling it. So we can do that, but it'd be one to like, I'd be telling people, if you know taxes and if you have a bit of a personality, put a fucking series out there, Yassify Taxes and the Revenue website. Do that. I would pay for that. Do you know?
Yeah, me too.
You know?
Absolutely. If somebody was like, I'm going to Yassify Excel, I'd be like, fucking hitting that number. No bother, baby.
Yassifying anything. Like if you are an expert or you know something like the back of your hand and you get on TikTok and do like 10 videos explaining like big points and sell it for like a fiver, you will fucking make a mint. I'm telling you now, because I would be a big, take my money, bitch, like for the Yassifying of anything slightly complicated, like the revenue website and you know doing your tax returns and stuff like that. But that's the only kind of way that you can make. And we don't even have TikTok shop or anything. Now, I suppose it's just like fucking Instagram. If you go to buy something on Instagram, it's just as fucking dodgy. But like, you know, people want it. But apparently, so to be in the Creator Fund, you have to have posted at least, I don't know what the number is, but posted at least a number of videos in a space of time, have at least 10,000 followers, and have at least a thousand views per video or something like that for you to get considered for it. So it wasn't until she was about 10 videos, 20 videos into this that she got offered to create a program.
Okay.
Then, because something happened with, I think, part 7, because when you're watching it, it goes from part 6 to part 8. And it's like, part 7, you look at the comments, it's like, oh, it's down near part 14. She had to re-upload it. So because she re-uploaded a video that was in situ before she was part of the Creator Fund, they took that as her being a cheeky fucker. So they banned her. They suspended her from the Creator Program for 30 days. Now, she did this all, it was all starting from Valentine's Day or the 15th.
Yeah, it was a while ago now.
This is about 3 weeks ago now, but she was suspended for 30 days. And then, like, this video, she did this over like 4 days. I'm going to say between 2 to 4 days. I was actually looking at the dates and I thought she did it over 2 days. But anyway, she came on to kind of answer questions off, because like, yeah, obviously you have other people who make money on TikTok by talking about other TikTokers. Like you'll have them come up green screen themselves in front of Risa Teresa and be like, Risa Teresa and be like,
this lady,
she's making $100,000 gone by my calculations and all that sort of crap. But she was like, no, because I got suspended or whatever. And she came on, and then people started tagging TikTok and they were like, you need to be making a fucking bag for this. Like you're after, it's completely changing. Something has changed on TikTok now because of you. Like this is going to be a big thing. A lot of people are going to be doing this sort of shit now. Do you know what I mean? So like she has, and then she was like, you have gotten, or like some of the comments were like, I fucking went into a shop the other day and somebody turned around and said, that's so Legion, and I'll explain why that's a thing. But she was like, yeah, what the fucking boomers on board? Like, do you know what I mean? And then people were saying, get it translated to Spanish, put it on YouTube. Like, people are really encouraging her to make her money because she didn't get to make money. And by the time she got, so she's been on Good Morning America now and all at this stage for her. She's done a lot. But she's like made less than $5,000 from TikTok directly. Yeah. So, like for,
and she is like the biggest thing on TikTok this month. Now again, now that she's in the creator fund though, like now she's got a lot of followers. Like she'll still,
well, a lot of people have said that they will go back and watch all 50 videos again to help her. I don't know what they're gonna do for her. I think it would be stupid of TikTok not to compensate her somewhat. You know what I mean? Kind of, because like there was parts of the story where she was talking about BMW. They reached out to her, but they kind of breadcrumbed her. Fuckers.
Fuck you, Bima.
So basically, in part of the story, and I'll go from start, and I won't go from start to finish, I'm not going to go into as much detail as she did, but he was basically saying that he was going to buy her a car. She was pregnant at the time. He wanted to buy her a fancy car, like a safe, fancy car. Like he was,
So it's part of the hot, okay. Yeah, okay.
So she was like, I would love, you know, the dream would be an X5 dark blue BMW X5 with cognac interior, dark rims, that kind of, like, she did the whole thing, but she said it because it was such a dream of hers, and she was talking about how like delighted she was to be even test driving this thing. This was like, you know, and then they were doing other kind of cars as well, but she had said it a few times, and then by the end of it she was like, and one day I will get the BMW, you know what I mean?
Okay.
In kind of conclusion or whatever, or sights for the future. And then BMW, they've since deleted the video, but they put up a virtual tour on TikTok, on their TikTok, and tagged her in it, and they were like, she forgot to mention whatever fucking feature there was on it and tagged her, but like did nothing else. Just basically tried to be trendy and get on board with the whole thing.
Like tried to be Stanley Cup.
Yeah, exactly. But did nothing for her. Do you know what I mean?
That is so stingy. Why would you?
Oh, stingy. Now I don't. She said that a few brands have gotten onto her. I don't know which ones they are. She's talking about like she has a few attorneys and stuff like that because she is a little bit afraid of brands. Like this is all new to her, and you know the way that America is, if somebody goes viral, they have merch the next week. It's fucking genuinely bonkers when somebody goes viral.
Like, who the fuck did I marry? Like merch, it's crazy. It's such a capitalist country that they're literally like, you gotta make, and but in all fairness, she went through a lot of trauma, and so I'm okay with her making pound.
She needs to make her bag off this. Like, I'd love to see her living comfortably after everything that she went through. And to be fair to her, she's not like Gorilla Glue hair girl. She's not like trying to be famous. She seems so humble, so sane, so like head on her shoulders. Like she said, she used to get bullied for, she's a black woman, she's from Atlanta, and she was saying that when she was in school, they always used to, because she's very well spoken, she doesn't have the kind of black accent as much as somebody in Atlanta. She was slagged over being trying to be too posh and stuff like that. But like if you actually sit and listen to her and look at her and see how put together she is and how she seems to just have such a big heart, she's a very likable person. Do you know what I mean? That I can't see her going into that whole thing. Well, I'm going to do merch. I'm going to do, you know, like try to get as much money out of absolutely everybody. She's not like that at all. She doesn't seem like the type. And she's very aware. She said in one of the interviews, she was like, I don't want to, she's like, it's very fleeting when you go viral. It can go away just as quick as it comes. She says, I don't want to be left with no fucking friends, no family and barely any money because I got ahead of myself. Like
a few shy brand gigs that like.
Yeah. And she was like, because I ended up on Good Morning America. Do you know what I mean? She was like, those people want me. I don't want, she's like, I'm okay to go and tell me story. I did this for a reason. But she's like, I'm not about fucking trying to get famous off it or whatever. She said she would like to write a book, and she says because she's told the story now, she kind of has the balls to put in a few details that she left out on TikTok. She's been approached by production companies and stuff to do this as like, I don't know, a series probably or a movie. Said who she'd like to play her, you know, just as a joke and stuff like that. But she's kind of I've kind of looking up where she is now. She's just kind of doing interviews and stuff like that. She did mention in it that your man wanted to give her a trip to London and Paris because she's always wanted to go. And now she will be going. But two fans, whatever it was. But Hilton are heading up the accommodation for her. Delta have given credit to go over. And then, like, you know, she was just basically saying she's going to be going over. So she's delighted. So, basically, she matched with this fella on two apps. It was Facebook Dating and I think the other one was Hinge.
Yeah.
But on the two profiles, his name was different on both of them. And she said she matched with him on both apps. So they just thought that it was this funny thing. Now she said it wasn't like fucking Paul and Mark. She said it was like he was Matthew on one and Matt on the other, that kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah.
That was his name, but she was saying that's what it was like. It was just kind of like an abbreviation. So she said it didn't feel that off, if you get me. So the timing of it was really fucking bad. So it was just before everybody went into lockdown and COVID had every chokehold. So basically, his situation was she was 35 at the time. I don't know what age he is, but they met up. She was on the way to the date and she got a blowout on her tire. And she was like, she goes, I'm not going to be able to make it to this date or whatever. And she was like, I rang him. She says, I'm going to have to go and get this thing. She says, it sounded like an excuse, but it wasn't like it genuinely happened or whatever. And he was like, okay. And then she was like, I don't know if this date is going to happen or whatever. Then he said, where are you? I'll come and help you. And then, so he came, she dropped the pin. He came, he helped her. He paid for her tire. Paid for the repairs and then still went on the day. She said it was very like Christian Grey, kind of like he shows up, he pays for everything. She says, I'm not fucking used to this, never have had like anybody look after me like that. She says it's never been the way for me. She was like, that just, it was just a good green flag at the very start. Like she was like, just a really fucking good impression that he made. She was like, all right, that was grand. They went to the Cheesecake Factory and she said she found out an awful lot.
Like, we went to the Cheesecake Factory.
I don't know, is that romantic? It seems like Joelle.
No, that's like TGI's. Yeah, Joelle's, yeah, actually that's perfect. That's actually fucking perfect.
Was like, I bet you it's like Joelle's. It's just
it literally is. I was going to say it's like a better, like I will go to the Cheesecake Factory, they have good food there, but it's like TGI's but not like shit food, do you know what I mean? Actually quite decent, like
Joelle's, and even the interior and stuff, just Joelle's.
And
I only, from watching the Big Bang Theory, that's the only impression that I have of the Cheesecake Factory. But anyway, so they're talking and she said within the first kind of two or three conversations, she's like, I've had a lot of personal info being shared with me, but the two of them are of the kind of thing that, like, I think it's my time. I'm ready to get married. I'm ready to settle down. And, like, she, at the time, it must have been her leading the conversation and him just telling her what she wanted to hear because of what we find out, like, later. But it was just basically, like, that they were ready to get married and they were serious and, you know, all this. You know, like, fucking the way they go into Love Island, they're like, I'm ready to settle down. Yeah,
bollocks.
Like,
yeah, you're like,
bollocks.
I'm 19.
Yeah.
On a boyfriend. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I'm looking for the love of my life.
I'm ready for the one. I need the one. Do you know?
19, shut your face, yeah. You know?
So basically, I suppose when you're kind of 35 and above, dating would be very different to that kind of, you know what I mean? Like, just going in and seeing what fucking happens. Do you know what I mean? You are going to be more serious about it. And whether you like it or not, society does make you feel pressure if you're not already in a specific situation that you want to be in at that age, I suppose. So that was grand. So his story was that he was basically in between jobs. He was in a studio apartment. She had been renting. Like, she had her shit together. She was really independent. She had a 3-bed townhouse that she was renting by herself at the time. And he was like saying that he was in between jobs and that he was in between jobs or getting transferred, something like that. But he was in a studio apartment and he was ready to buy a house. He was house shopping. So this was just a temporary kind of thing. So then lockdown happens and he's like, oh, you need to make a decision because this is whatever it was a very temporary thing. Or was he staying at a hotel? It was something like that. It was very, very temporary, his situation, but it seemed legit. So they ended up, he moved in with her because they were going to quarantine together. So and everybody thought it was going to be 2 weeks.
Oh yeah, true. You know? So they were like, oh yeah, let's go on. Yeah,
okay. Yeah, let's quarantine together. And like, I fucking hate the word, but everything was unprecedented, so I suppose. And I did hear a lot of stories of people that did that. You know, they might have only been with each other like a couple of months, but one moved into the other's place and they quarantined together, and you know, this was going to be the way that it was. Like, when they think back to COVID, like, just, it was fucking mental. But anyway, they did that, and then they ended up, I suppose that's where they were going to live. He was talking about buying a house. He was going to basically pay for the house. He had shown her an approval letter that he got, which was for $750,000, like a mortgage. Right. He had said that he was. Do you know what? I was like, it's gas that I get to talk to you about this, because I was like, so his whole thing was that his job was, he was the VP, not of the company, but of the department, like production or whatever, in a condiment company, right?
Right.
She never said the name of it. And I was like, a condiment company? I was like, that wouldn't be very good paying. And then I was like, oh, Americans and their condiments. I was like, Carla will get this. it's big.
It depends, unless it was that like fucking pink sauce, do you remember that?
Yeah. It's a big industry in America anyway, like much more than it would be here. Like, you're talking about Heinz, like
it's not Mulgrave.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so that was grand. That was his, like, he had the pre-approval, but then he was saying that he had, and I'm going to miss out on a load of information. I would highly recommend going and listening to it on TikTok, because like some of the stuff that she said, it is mad. But basically spoilers. Hashtag spoilers. he said he had a checking account. So that was his walking around money. A Chase savings. I don't know. It's
weird how they do it in America. So basically, like, your checking is like, everybody has a checking and a savings, you know? So your checking is like the money that you can use on like your tap, like your, like the money that's available, your savings. Like, again, it's been 10 years since I lived there, so everything probably has changed. But your savings is like a little bit more of an effort to actually have to, like, move money out of.
Right.
You know, that kind of way, like, you can't debit money out of your savings. You have to move it into your checking.
Yeah.
So you can use, you know what I mean? So it's like, do you want to see your check? So when you go to an ATM, it's like your checking balance or your savings balance? And you're like, oh.
Yeah, okay.
So you're like, oh, why do I have to check both? So obviously he has set up like a fucking savings balance over here and a checking balance over there. Like, it is easy to be, it's easier to be manipulated. It's not like over here, it's just...
Yeah, well, see, she was saying checking account. She never mentioned like the name of the bank or anything, but she was saying Chase Savings. Then she said US State Savings. Then she said there was also an offshore account, but she had never seen the balances of the US Savings and the offshore account.
Now, I've no fucking clue what that is, because again, I know Chase is a bank, so there's like Chase Bank, so that's just like a bank. I was with Bank of America, so I have no idea how fucking Chase went. But I'm sure that's like being with AIB.
Yeah.
And then now, over there, they fucking, like the way they can save for their pensions and stuff is insane. The way that they can invest and all that other kind of stuff is mad. So I'm sure there's probably like, I know there's 401ks and all that other kind of like, there's loads of mad stuff, loads of ways that you can like put pockets of money without it being just so kind of obvious. Like you can invest, your 401k, you can like invest like 10 grand and make that go to 100 grand somehow. I've no fucking idea how. Wish we could do it over here, but like there's loads of crazy things that you can do over there with money that we can't, because we're just too small of a
economy.
Sorry. Small of an economy, but also I'm sure that there's, as we know in America, money's mad over there.
Yeah, it is. It's mad. But anyway, so when he lived with her, he had all of those, and she was like, right, so that was grand. And then he'd shown her the pre-approval, and then I'll get into it in a few minutes. But basically, when he moved in, he was paying all of the bills. He was paying all of the utilities, all of the rent, all of the bills, and she said, I just basically had to look after myself. She was like, again, it was like a Christian Grey kind of situation. Yeah, and she was like, I'd never been in that situation before. She was like, but that's what he wanted to do. So it was great. And everything was getting paid. Nothing was behind, you know, like she felt like she was being looked after. So she was like, this is fucking great. Like, so that was grand. Then it started kind of coming to a head when they were looking at houses and started putting offers in. So basically, he, like, a few houses, I fucking don't know how many houses that they looked at, jeez, it must be 50, like, by the end of it, but every single one of them fell through, because they had to go and see them virtually, and this is how he got away with a load of shit as well, I think, because they were on lockdown, they weren't seeing people, they were Zooming people, like, you know, she was very isolated, like, with this bloke, and then with transactions like trying to buy a house, it was all online, so it was like all on the phone. You're not doing it in person, you're not showing up as a couple, you're not being spoken to as a couple, you're on the phone with one person, you know what I mean? So he got away with fucking murder. But basically he put like offers on houses, and when he was asked to show proof of funds, he never did. He was like,
random.
Yeah, because some of them, like, she was like, and she makes it very clear, she was like, I'm going to tell you what I saw, what I was told, and what I know to be true. Like, these kind of things, you know what I mean? Because they're all very, she was like,
different.
I'm seeing this fucking happening. So this, she was like, I hate the fact that I'm blaming myself. She said, but he was so convincing. So, like, one of the things that he used to do is he used to ring his brother at 6 o'clock, and he used to be gone out of the house by 6:15, home by 3:30 in the afternoon. That was his work day. But before he went to work, he always got on the phone to one of his brothers. And he was there having, she was like, I saw him every morning have conversations. And she even did an impression of the conversation as well. She was like, this is the way it goes. She was like, yeah, oh, that's okay. Just talking to Teresa, you know. Abe says hi, you know, whatever it was. Like, really, it was really fucking convincing, right? So by the end, it turns out this man has nobody. Nobody speaks to this man. Like, he lied about the amount of siblings that he had. He only had two brothers, but he had said that he had three or four brothers or whatever, but the two of them were from the dad's relationship before he met the ma, and then like three within that family, and then two sisters. He only has two brothers. One of them is a twin, and he never mentioned the fact that he had a twin.
Okay.
He talked about like nieces that he had, which were actually cousins when she found out, and they haven't spoken in 20 years. Basically, his family know that he's a fucking liar and they want nothing to do with him. So they try to keep distance and stuff like that. So she ends up talking to family members by the end of it and getting the truth and stuff like that. But she was just like, the man that I met and how well put together that he was towards the man that I found out that he was towards the end, she was like, just fucking crazy, like. But yeah, so he was putting down cash offers on some houses and then not showing proof of funds and stuff like that. And she was like, sometime, like, there was a realtor one of them, the first realtor that they were dealing with, he got sick of him. He was like, no, I'm not, I can't do this anymore. He was like, there's too many houses that have fallen through. And then he was like, the realtor said, it was kind of probably my own fault for not seeing your proof of funds to be able to say that I've seen it. Because one of his themes was, I don't want to show them the amount of money that I have in case they start a bidding war, this kind of stuff. Like, so he was like, I should have told you that I want to see your proof of funds so that I would be the mandated person to be able to tell them that I know you have the money so that you didn't have to show whatever it was. But he cut ties with them. They got another realtor, and there was this girl, she was called Amber. And she wasn't taking any bullshit. He was like, no, I'm not showing you proof of funds. And she was like, no, but that's not how we're going to do business. So you need to show me the proof of funds. And like, she, her name is Teresa Johnson. But she was like, I liked the way that she dealt with it because it was very matter of fact and he wasn't going to get away with it. She said, because I was questioning why the fuck, what's the problem like?
Yeah.
No, you're offering an all cash offer. They'll accept your offer if they see proof of funds. And then they were like, I'm not accepting the offer till we see the proof of funds. So it was like a standoff a few times. So this realtor basically turned around and it fell through or whatever because he wouldn't show the proof of funds. And then she rang Teresa and she was just like, look, Teresa rang her and she was like, I don't know what's going on. I think we might need to put a stop on the house hunting until I find out what's going on. And your one Amber turned around and she was like, look, do your research.
Oh.
And she said, if you end up not buying a house, that's cool. If you want to buy a house together, well, that's cool. I'll be there for you. If you want to buy a house on your own, I would be very happy to represent you. So it was very matter of fact. She, without saying it, was basically saying something's not right.
Okay.
In a very, very professional way. But she really appreciated that. She was like, I just have to take my fucking hat off to her. And then later, after the series, she actually shared her picture. And was like, if you're buying a house in Georgia, you know, like, please give her the business. She's like, she's the one that basically set this whole thing off for me to go and do. Yeah, exactly. So she, like, you know what I mean? That was kind of one of the first things. But she ended up, so she was like, it was just fucking mental. So then another thing was that he was going to get a company car. She said, I saw the memo from HR that said, this is your promotion. You're getting promoted from whatever regional manager he was at the start, and then he was the VP of whatever.
Sounds
right. Regional manager. Sounds very Michael Scott.
Assistant to the regional manager. Yeah, exactly. I heard that one before. Yeah.
So she said, I saw the memo from HR, and then he said one of the things with this like role is that he gets like a phone, a company car, but it can't cost more than 90k or whatever. A load of different benefits or whatever, and his raise and stuff like that. But so they went shopping for the company car. He got, I think it was a BMW 5 Series or something like that. Charcoal grey. He sent, he did it, and then he explained to the car dealer that he was like, oh, that's grand. I just need you to print out the description of it or whatever, like a kind of an invoice before you pay it sort of thing, or print up the order, and then I'll get that shot of the HR, and then they'll try and wire the funds, you know, they're like, wire the funds. I'll wire the money. So then she was like, she goes, I thought it was a little bit strange that he was doing it and not the company just providing him with a car. But she says, like, who the fuck am I? The car dealership was like, yeah, okay, fair enough, as if it happened all the time. So she was like, at this point, I didn't really have all that many reasons to question it. My bills were still getting paid. He was going to work. Like, do you know what I mean? This kind of thing. There wasn't really much at this point for her to be just like, what the fuck's going on? This happened, I think, before the house. So that was grand. Then she got pregnant. And it was very quick after they kind of moved in together. And then he was like, okay, well, I want you to have a car. So he said he was going to, like, help with the finance or whatever. So they went to car shopping. But then he was very indecisive. The car sale kept falling through as well. as well as the house. Like, do you know what I mean? He wasn't, just wasn't going through. And she ended up with a much cheaper car anyway, and he was paying the finance on that. And then, like, so it was after your one told her to do her research or whatever. I can't remember what exactly, like, really set it off. I think it was the fact that he wasn't showing the money. And then, actually, sorry, because he became VP, a big important thing, and one of the things she says she hates the fucking most about this, she ended up having a miscarriage. So she had to go in and had to get a D&C. But at this point, sorry, one the other benefits of becoming a vice president was he was going to have an executive assistant, and this fellow was called David. So she was in pre-op, texting it, like, he couldn't go because he had this big massive meeting, whatever it was, in this, like, he couldn't miss it, but she was going in for the D&C. So he was like,
okay,
I'll pick you,
but he can't go.
Yeah. He was like, I'll pick you up. Her friend had to bring her in. He's like, I'll pick you up, but I can't miss this meeting. She was like, oh, okay, that's fine. He was like, text me, ring me every minute. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm not in the meeting, I'll be there for you. So she was like, okay. And then she was texting him when she was in pre-op, and David, the assistant, was texting her back saying, like, oh, he's still in the meeting, whatever the case was. By the end of it, it turns out there was no such thing. So this was this cunt. She was in pre-op saying how scared she was, and he was texting her as himself, pretending to be his own executive assistant. And when she was in recovery, the nurse...
Jen!
Yeah, when she was in recovery, the nurses kept ringing him. He was 3 hours fucking late to pick her up.
Doing fucking what?
I actually don't know that. But she said it was that...
I actually don't know that one. That one part. I don't know
why he was so late. Do you know what I mean? Unless if he was like in work or whatever, and he couldn't get out of it. But so they'd gotten married before this. It was a very
just a civil let's go, like, exactly. Let's get it done kind of thing. They were, but also that worries me so much.
Mm.
Like, if there was a bit of pressure put on to go and get married, like, you know, that kind of way.
They were very religious. Well, she was. He made her think that he was as well, but like he talked about his parents opening up a church after they retired. No such fucking thing. Like, is that the brother said that the dad hasn't been in a church since the day he married the mat. So that kind of thing. So like she said it was very unromantic. Like, even the ring, she picked out the ring, and then he kind of like just threw it on the kitchen table when he ended up buying it for her, kind of thing. Just like, there you go.
As if like and there.
Yeah,
take
exactly.
That,
yeah. Yeah. Like, little bits. Now, as I said, I'm paraphrasing. I'm skipping over fucking loads. So go and read it or watch it for yourselves. It's very long to try and keep up with. And if I was to even take notes and go through the actual timeline, we would be here for 8 hours. So I'm skimming. When you know the way you skitter a little rock across a river, that's the way I'm doing it.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Point, point, point. That's what I'm doing. So then it came down to it. So she was just like, there's something not fucking right here. So I think it was, I'm trying to think when she went all CIA on his ass. Because I can't remember what actually set it off. But so basically she looked at the ma's obituary. Oh, another thing as well. He brought her to the ma and da's grave. So it was the family name. And I think they were still sitting in the car. And this headstone was like really far away. And he was like, that's where they're buried or whatever. She was like, it was kind of weird. Like, he brought me there. And then he brought me to the church that they opened. And all that kind of, like, he was bringing her down memory lane of his own kind of thing. That's important for, it's something that you find out later. But she looked at the ma's obituary, and because something had kind of said, like, she was like, what the fuck is going on? So, oh, sorry, there was sexting as well. She found out that he was sexting people on Facebook, and then he kind of said to her, he was like, oh, I don't even know.
It's from the grief.
Yeah. No, well, no, the man that, like, he had said, I think his nana died in 2020 of COVID. An uncle died of COVID. His stepdaughter died of COVID. These are all these people
That's
died
handy,
of COVID That's around handy. This time, right? Yeah. And then yeah, but like it came out that the Nana died in 2008, the uncle died in 2010, and the stepdaughter is still alive. Like, this
of COVID.
Yeah, all these fucking mad things. Well, she looked at the mad obituary and the family that was listed. She was like, this doesn't...
It's not his.
This is... Where's the other two brothers? Like, where's the sisters? Wait, who's... Oh. You know what I mean? Like, the sisters aren't listed at all. The stepbrothers aren't listed. And then it was something like... Oh, sorry.
Like, we'll be remembered by...
Yeah. Now, he had admitted before that he was married in the state of California. She had two kids before she had met him, but he was very close to them, right? At the time, the obituary, he had said she died, the man.
Oh my God, so much tragedy for one man.
No, well, I can't remember when he said the man died. No, I think he was correct about the man's death, but she looked at the obituary and all these things. But the wife at the time basically wasn't the wife's name that he'd said. And she was like, who the fuck?
Why was he lying about that?
Exactly. Like, there was no mention of this wife, because this would have been back in 2008.
Oh, okay. Okay.
This was like a wife from fucking years ago kind of thing.
What ages are these people, by the way?
Huh?
What ages are they?
Like, she was 35. She's 39 now. This is 4 years ago. So okay. I don't know what age he was. I think another thing that she had said, so she worked in law enforcement. Now, I don't think she said that she didn't use her job to do these things, but she had basically said that when they were getting married, this is one of the things, when they were getting married, she asked she needed a social security number, obviously for the cert or whatever. She mentally took it down in her head because she was just like, do you know what, I'm just going to run his fucking background because like, I don't fucking know him. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
She took it down. She did a background check and nothing came back. So she was like, right, that's grand then. Then something got to do with his license, his driver's license, the address that was on that. Apparently it was tied to an ex-girlfriend, but he had said it was his sister. She mentions places a lot around Georgia, like stuff that are in Atlanta, up in Philly. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Was it Philly? Yeah, California and like loads of different places. But she had seen these things, like the addresses that were linked to other people. And you can get like background, you can pay for background checks on people in America. You can pay for really detailed ones. Like as in, they're basically Garda vetting. You'll get all of the addresses.
Garda vetting.
It is, but basically any address that you were at, something that was tied to your name, like a license or whatever, it comes up.
Okay.
But like the more detailed background checks, it will tell you who you were associated with in that house or whatever. So he had said that he was married before to the woman in California. The man has never been to California in his life. So she did the background check. The name came up, but was an address in Georgia. And she was like, what the actual fuck is going on here? She was like, that's the woman's name.
Yeah. But it's George.
It's George. Yeah. Apparently they got married and divorced in California. No mention of the ex-wife. I think that's why she kind of went looking, because she was like, this ex-wife isn't coming up at all. There was another name, but I think he said it was his auntie's house. And then another one was, it's all very confusing. There's a fucking lot going on, right? So eventually, at some point in time, she was like, do you know what, I'm just gonna go and I'm gonna go to the fucking courthouse, because apparently they were divorced in Georgia, so I want to go and see who fucking filed.
Ever. Good for her.
So she went to the courthouse, she got, it was like an open records thing, and she said, another thing was, she went to apply for a new job, and because it was like law enforcement, her spouse had to put his social,
yeah, it's like, yeah,
but it was a different social security. So there was two. So she said, that isn't...
Can you have two?
He noticed. Well, I think he might have... I don't know. Did he... Oh, sorry. She said that the way social security numbers work is that each state has their... The first three numbers is associated with whatever state you live in. So she said, but Georgia, Georgia, you could have like 1, 2, 3 and 4, 5, 6 and the both of them could be associated with Georgia.
Okay.
So she said it was the first three digits that were different on both the marriage license and the background check that she was doing for this new job. So she says, I ran the second one, and then she got the more detailed one, and that's how she found out about all the people. But she went to the courthouse anyway, wanted to file, because he had said that his ex, the one that he was married from California, cheated on him, and he filed for divorce, but he's still real close with them. He also said in this time that the daughter, he had gotten a phone call from the son, the stepson, to say that the daughter had died of COVID, right? Then after this point, she went, got the, like, she was like, she filed, it was the ex-wife filed for irreconcilable differences. And then it said that he was going for something got to do with, it's like a pauper plea or something like that. Basically, he couldn't pay any fees because he was bankrupt, like he had no money. But he's letting on to Teresa here that he's fucking minted, right?
Minted.
Yeah, because he talked...
And the ex-wife is on the way. Like.
Yeah, and he talked about the fact that he was like, he played arena football in California. It was San Diego. He went to San Diego State University. She had rang them up. There was no fucking like record of him. She confronted him about that, and he was like, oh, my dad paid for me to be a private citizen or whatever. There would be no record of me. And she was just like, but you were like playing football. How the fuck?
How would there be nothing about you exactly. when you were playing football? Not even listing on like a club.
Yeah, exactly. She was like.
Like a site like, oh, tonight will be.
Yeah.
The whatever versus the whatever. That's bollocks. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. And like he would have been like photographed. And you know how fucking mad they are about that college football over there. Like he wouldn't be getting away with that.
Yeah.
So she went to the courthouse anyway, looked at all of this stuff, and she was like, this is just fucking mental. And then she goes, then I noticed the ex-wife's phone number on the filing.
Okay.
Says I.
Oh, clever bitch.
Yeah. She says, I immediately took it down. Immediately took it down. And then she goes, she says, I put everything back or whatever. And she was like, she told her friend, the one that had brought her to go help her get the DNC and stuff like that. She was the friend, like, you need to fucking ring. I'll give you my phone to ring. And Lisa was like, she says, if you're out like me, that phone number would have been gone 10 phone numbers ago. Like, I'll change my phone number if somebody sneezes at me. She was like, but some people keep the fucking number since, like, they're in the fourth grade. So she was like, I rang it. And she answered, and she was like, she still has fucking same phone number. So she basically was like, hello, this is who I am, this is who I'm married to. And then the woman, the ex-wife, was just like, she laughed. And she was like, it has to be bad if you're ringing me. Like, just...
Knew immediately. She was like, let's go.
In an instant, validated everything that she was thinking, because she was still kind of like trying to convince herself that this was, you know what I mean, that she was...
Yeah, he was like a good man and all that.
So she basically said like, just like all the different stuff. She was like, don't fucking blame yourself. She was really encouraging. She was like, I broke up with him because he fucking just kept lying to me. She's like, the amount of stuff that I found out, you know, all this kind of stuff. So she was like, if you really want answers, she says, talk to the older brother. Then he'll give you... Oh, no, sorry, that's not who said that. Apologies, that's not who said it. She was like, I don't really want to get involved in this. And, you know, like, I don't want him coming back to me saying, why are you giving her information and stuff like that. She was like, I promise you, my plan is not to tell him that I've spoken to you. And to this day, to be fair, only that he's seen it, she'd never told him that she spoke to the...
Okay.
The, or whatever. Then... It came about that...
Does he still talk to the ex-stepkids?
No.
And so that was a spoof as well.
That was a spoof. Right. And she goes, just before I let you go, how is your daughter? She's like, she's fine, why? And she goes, I didn't have the heart to tell her what he had said about her.
Yeah, because that's fucked.
Fucked. And I'm sure she's seen it now, like... But she goes, no, he said, you know, she wasn't well, she got COVID or whatever, I just wanted to see how she was, whatever. So she let her go. Then I think she confronted him with a load of stuff, but again, didn't want to divulge that she had spoken, like, didn't let on she had proof for as much as she knew. So he, at this stage, he had come down, he had a bad knee, he changed his job from the condiment company to Apple. And she explains that much later. Like, a lot of the video, not a lot of them, but about five of the videos are kind of revision missing pieces and clarification videos as well. So it's not just a long running thing, because obviously she's getting comments as this is happening. So she needs to address a lot of stuff.
And like, what about this and what about that? And you're like,
oh. Yeah, exactly. And she's just like, some of the stuff isn't really relevant, but I'll tell you because you asked, kind of thing. Because like a lot of people are going, hey, when did it happen that he finished in the condiment company and went to Apple or whatever? So she explains it all later, but this is the, she was saying, I'm doing it chronologically. I'm just telling you, you know, from start to finish what happened. So then basically she confronted him. His knee was really fucking bad. She said he was in the spare room drinking Powerade to beat the fucking bag. She says he lost, like he was a 3XL when she met him. She says he was easily a large by the time this kind of part was coming around. Yeah, exactly. She said it was really short amount of time as well. She was like, it was nearly like he had another illness. She says, well, okay, can't say anything. But basically she was just like, do you know what, get the fuck out of my house, I know you're lying to me, that kind of thing. And he was just like, what the fuck are you talking about? And she goes, now to be fair, the way she worded it, I was like, fair fucking play to you. Because she said he immediately got onto his aunt, and I actually do think it was his auntie. It was his auntie in up in like Philly or whatever. And she was like, go fucking stay with her or whatever. And it took him about, she said, from, it was about, it was his birthday when she kicked him out. And like, she said, I was kind of looking around and I was like, this fucker has been bedridden. He's doing nothing but drinking Powerade. And there's full bottles of stuff that doesn't look like Powerade at the end. Like, he's been pissing in the bottles, basically. Like, she said, he just turned into a fucking mess. Like, you know what I mean? It was like a 2-hour thing to get him out of the house. He only packed 2 bags of clothes or whatever, and he drove up to the auntie's house. Next of all, she gets a phone call from his cousin, and she goes, the cousin turns around, she's like, we know he's a fucking liar, we don't fucks with him, but I want to know what the truth is, because he's coming up here saying that he went home, you were cheating with a law enforcement officer, and the officer pulled his gun on him and kicked him out of the house or whatever the fuck. And she was just like, of course he fucking said that. So she got a load.
To have the imagination, eh?
I know. So she got a load of information out of her. It was just like, the sister, she was like, who's the brothers? And, you know, this is where it was clarified. He only has 2 brothers. One is a twin. No sisters. One of the names that he gave for the sisters is actually her daughter, which is his cousin who hasn't spoken to him in 20 years. She was like, we don't fucking, you know what I mean?
We don't talk to him. Not a thing.
Meanwhile, she's waiting on his signature for a divorce, the divorce paper. So she's trying to placate him. Like, he's ringing her, texting her, all this sort of stuff. She was like, I don't want to fuck up the chances of him not giving me this signature. So
that's terrifying.
Exactly. So they basically kick him out, but she doesn't know as much. But she's spoken to the cousin, but she's not telling him that she's spoken to the cousin, and she doesn't know that he's been kicked out either. So he meets her at the UPS place or whatever. And she says, like, this was 4 days. 4 fucking days. She says, he got out of that car. He looks like a homeless man. She said he'd lost even more weight. She said there was people visibly holding their noses as he was walking past them.
What?
It was just, she says, I don't know what the fuck happened to him, how he went so downhill. She says, he just looked.
In bits.
Yeah, exactly. And then it was very clear that she said by the end of it, he gave the signature, that's grand. He didn't even read the agreement, because in the agreement, she says, as like at the time of him signing it, everything that was in her house belonging to him now belongs to her. He didn't even read that. He just signed it all off or whatever. Then she said, we were parked quite close to each other in the car park. She says, so I walked into the car and I visibly saw that he had been living in his car.
Oh no.
Yeah. So he obviously penniless or whatever. So she gave him like $6 to get him some chicken nuggets or like, you know, and she was like that, and then that was it. And then she had to wait like 30 days to actually get the divorce degree in the post. So she was like, as long as there was no hiccups or anything like that, she was like, I was, you know, just waiting on that piece of paper to come in. So then the cousin was the one who said, if you want answers, talk to the older brother. So she gave her the number or whatever, and she had talked to the older brother, and she was just like, you speak to him every morning, like. And he was like, no, I don't. What the fuck? And she was like, well, no, he rings you at 6 o'clock. He says, I wouldn't be out of bed before fucking 7. He says, I don't know who he's talking to on the phone. It's not fucking me. She was like, snap. Yeah. So she was like, I saw him. I'm looking at him. And she was like, now that I think of it, you were never on speakerphone. It was always just up to the air. Just him. Like this.
So was he talking to himself or talking to someone else?
I reckon, yeah, that he was talking to himself. And this happened with a few people. Like, there was another brother, there was a cousin, there was an auntie. Like, there was, he's been doing this with a few people, a friend as well. So then he goes and stays with, sorry, his mom's best friend, who he called his auntie, who wasn't actually his auntie, his mom's best friend anyway. She kind of had always kept in touch with him or whatever.
Yeah.
And the brother was like, I don't trust her. Like, well, the words were, I don't trust her, how? So she was just like, what the fuck? So basically she rang her one day and she was just like, here, he's looking to, she calls him Legion because it's a biblical, like,
okay, yeah,
used like demonic. So she, like, Legion's asking to come and stay here. Like, why did you just break up? He's saying that you kicked him out or whatever. And she was just like, yeah, I did kick him out because he doesn't want my fucking lies. And you know what I mean? I says, she says, it's up to you if you want to take him in, but just don't believe anything that he says, because like the direct quote from the ex-wife was like, everything he has told you was a lie. Every single,
yeah, everything. Yeah.
So she was just like, hey, what's going to happen with the baby? And Teresa was like,
no.
Excuse me? She was just like, yeah, you just have a baby. I'm still waiting to meet the little boy, the little baby. Yeah. So he didn't even tell her that she had a fucking miscarriage a year previous. Because the ma's like friend is like, I'll bring the baby up the next time, or, you know, oh, come on, I want to meet the baby. And loads of people in the community had gotten her presents for the baby and or wanted to know, like, to get presents to her or whatever. And she was just like, sorry, I had a miscarriage, like, when, like, not long after I got pregnant. Do you know what I mean? This is, like, 12 weeks in. So she was like, no, it was, like, last year when I had a miscarriage. Sorry about that. Now there is no baby. And she was just like, why would he lie? Like, you know, the real kind of old lady kind of. Yeah. What do you do? That kind of thing. Yeah. Couldn't believe it. She was like,
okay. Must be a reason. You're like, no.
So she was like, look, you can take him in if you want to, but I'm just telling you, like, that's what's happened or whatever. So then he goes missing for 2 weeks. It turns out he, because she's trying to get in touch with him, she's reaching out to everybody that he's kind of mentioned that he's spoken to. Not one of those people had he spoken to. These are people that he rings daily, that he's talking to daily.
Oh my God.
Like, all of them are like, please don't involve me with him. I never want to speak to him again. I'm not happy that you're asking me, like, that you're even associating me with him. I'm sorry, but I want nothing to do with him. He owed people out money, that kind of thing. She was just like, this, she says, I realized at that point, this fucker has no one. He has absolutely no one. He's burnt bridges left, right, and center.
Left, right, and center. Yeah.
So, he goes missing for 2 weeks. It turns out he checked himself into a hospital because it's summer, it's Georgia, it's sweaty, he's living in his car. He just went and checked himself into fucking hospital to, like, I think it was a mental health facility or something like that. It was to get the air conditioning or whatever. And then he came out and he said, oh no, they take your phone off you when you go in. And that's why he, like, didn't get the phone or whatever. So then he had obviously been speaking to somebody in the facility who was just like, by the state of Georgia, you are still married, so you have a right to be in the marital home. So he started texting her and ringing her, saying, I'm coming back to the house, because until this divorce is final, I have a right to be in that house or whatever. So she was just like, right, okay. She got a load of advice off people, the chief of police and stuff like that. And then as she was speaking to the chief of police, because he felt sorry for her, he was just like, I know it's a shit rule, but there's nothing that I can do. Then he rings her back and he's like, actually, there's an open warrant out for his arrest. So he says, when he does show up, you ring me and we'll come and arrest him. So she was like, right, grand, that's my way out of this. So she goes, her car is in her own garage. She's in a fleet car for whatever station she works for or whatever. So she was like, he obviously went to the house, he sat in the driveway waiting for me and didn't recognise me when I came around. So she says, I went up, turned around in the cul-de-sac and pulled over and I rang and said, you know, there's a warrant out. She said, I rang 911. I said, my ex-husband or my husband is parking the driveway. I feel like I'm in danger. So they dispatched to the local police station where the chief of police has already informed all the officers this is what's happening. The four officers show up. They take him out of the car. They arrest him. That's all that he has is the car, basically. So she was like, at least that was him. And she was like, she only had 2 weeks or something like that. Or was it a day? Something like that until her lease was up and she was moving anyway. So she was like, these 2 weeks that she was like, I'm fucking stuck with him now until they found out about the warrant. So then, he got arrested and then she rang up the finance company for his car. She was like, I believe no payments have been made on this car. And they were like, yep, do you want to make a payment? And she was like, no, you can come and get the car. So they came and towed the car. So he basically had fucking nothing apart from the clothes on his back and a set of keys to a car that he no longer had or whatever. And that was the end of that. So she's doing grand now. She's like I said at the top of the episode, she's doing all of our bits, like getting her coin or whatever. He has since come out.
Okay.
And refuted absolutely everything that she has said. Okay. There's a TikToker who has a YouTube channel. If you want to look it up, his name.
He does.
No.
Of course he does.
No, there's a TikToker who has a YouTube channel who did a 2-hour interview with him.
Oh, ew.
So he came out. His name is Jerome McCoy. And
Okay. He's
like, it's so funny because some of the posts that he's putting up, like he's photoshopping himself into the background of Netflix, like the headquarters of Netflix, and he's photoshopping himself into it. He's like, thanks for the meeting, Netflix, coming to a big screen near you with like my side of the story. But people have zoomed in on it and they're like pointing out like some of the merch from the shows that were from like fucking 8 years ago. They were like, they're not even promoting anymore. He's like photoshopping himself into that. Like the lies this man is telling. And it just by watching her, you know she's the one telling the truth. So like now he does like,
yeah, well, if you were, why would you?
If you were to see him, you'd look at him and go, yeah, you'd actually fucking believe him. He's just a real, doesn't look like there's anything about him to be wary of. Do you know what I mean? He looks like a lovely fella. So the brother has since gotten in touch with her since this whole thing has gone viral and said, look, will you just stay something for me? So she stated that he was diagnosed, this fella, like Legion or whatever, Jerome, he was diagnosed with bipolar and something else when he was schizophrenia, when he was a kid. And
yeah,
I was like paying for the medication and stuff like that. Eventually stopped taking the medication. And then like the dad died and, you know, so she said, it's not fucking giving him excuse. Do you know what I mean? There are people who have these problems as well, these mental health problems, and they're not diabolical. So it's not like your fucking excuse or whatever. But she says, it's something that I didn't know beginning all this or even at the end of it. So that's the story at the minute, and I'm sure there's still going to be like more coming out. She'll definitely release a book, I'd say. If a production company picks it up, I wouldn't be surprised, that kind of thing, you know. But it was just, you'd feel sorry for her now, you know.
I do feel sorry for her. Like, I find it like this is taken. I don't know why this story, right, in the nicest way possible, it's not the wildest thing I've heard on the internet.
No, it's not. No, I suppose it's not. I think it's just the way that it was done.
Yeah, it was probably just the, like, and that, like, that's obviously a testament to her and the way that it just kind of picked up traction. Do you know that kind of way? It's like, it's, and also it was 50 parts and there was probably so many layered and so many people asking questions which kind of extend those parts, whatever. Now, there's a Reddit forum made for 1,300 members. There's threads set up. Does anybody believe his side of the story and all this other kind of shite? Like, so it's funny how no matter what, even though this has been technically proven, still people digging around trying to be like, that didn't happen. Or like, it's so weird to me. People's behavior on the internet, really, like, you're not CIA. Like, you're not Sherlock Holmes. And why do you care?
I know. And like the amount of people that she would have involved as well including his family, like, it's so easy to prove. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
How easy to verify. And, like, she wouldn't have, like, shared that the realtor's picture, for instance, if that's not something that she had said to her.
Yeah.
Do you know? Like, it's, it is, she's, like, all of the receipts, whereas he's just fucking denying it to the ground now, trying to get away with it. I think he said he was going to sue her for defamation as well. And a few, like, his family were going to sue her for defamation and all that sort of stuff. She has, like, she's lawyers coming out of her arse anyway. There, I'd say they're only happy to fucking represent her and, you know, all this sort of stuff. But
yeah,
seems to be doing well.
Like, there's a lot of, yeah, like, there's a lot of people who are blaming her by, like, saying, you know, she should have realised X was a red flag and she should have realised Y was a red flag. Like,
stop blaming women. Stop. He was a pathological liar. And something that I found kind of, because I like, you know, you hear the term pathological liar. She was just like, there, she, because she studied psychology and she was like, there's a difference, because a compulsive liar will tell you why they're lying.
Yeah.
But a pathological one has no logic. It's like, they're,
yeah, it's, they're just lying to no liars. Literally, it's just like a flu out of me. I've no idea why.
Oh, yes. Sorry. One of the very interesting things.
Yeah.
The twin. Never said that he had a twin, right? But his twin was married, had a child, was the vice president of a company,
drove a car.
Yeah. So he was, when she spoke to the bigger brother, that's when she was like, this fucker is emulating his twin.
He's trying to be like,
he's after taking on the life of his twin. So there you go. And the first wife, just something else and a bit of tea. The first wife, the two of them had a restraining order on each other because she filed for divorce because she found out that he was lying and she fucking bet him around.
Oh, Lord.
And she said, when she was saying to him, get out of my house, he was on the phone to his auntie and he was just like, she's saying that I'm lying. I've never lied a day in my life or whatever. And then she said, that's when I saw red. She was like, I was looking around for weapons. Like, oh. She says, I was looking around for weapons. She says, at one point he caught me looking at the lamp and that's when he copped, she's going to do something with
she's that. Made, she's made to go back.
And that's how he got up. He was, because obviously it happened before. He got fucking bet around by, like, his wife that caught him cheating or caught him lying. So there you go.
They are, boys and girls, huh?
A quick skim over it. It saves you the 8 hours, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so now you have good, what is it, 6 hours and 45 minutes to yourself there now. If you want, because it only took an hour and 15.
That is, like, look, it's not, as I said, it's not the craziest thing that I've heard in the world. You know, there's people, as we know, there's been plenty of people who have had whole other families and all this other kind of stuff. But I suppose, as you said, it's like the storytelling itself and that kind of, like, people frothing at the mouth, because it's like having a Netflix series except given to you in 10-minute parts over 50 parts. So,
and then people are weird when it comes to the parasocial stuff like that. They're just like, I can comment on it. And, you know,
I hope she does. Like, I mean, that's very traumatic, particularly losing a child and being in a situation like that. Like, you're never going to fully recover from a situation like that. Like, you're never going to be fully able to trust your instincts or yourself a little bit after something like that. It's just too hard to do. So I wish her love and healing.
Yeah. To be fair to her, she did say anybody that she met before him, she trusts. Anybody that she met after him, go fuck if you think she's trusting you. Like, she is traumatized from it. Like, she said therapy has helped, and this, like, getting this off her chest has been very cathartic. I don't know why she did it now. She did say she did it, like, in the hopes that it helps, like, at least one person who was, like, questioning red flags. But she said it's kind of, I think she said she was, these feelings were coming back to her this year. She was starting to blame herself again. And then she kind of has to remind herself of all the stuff that he did.
Like,
the cruel stuff that he did.
Yeah.
You know, so there you go. Unpopular opinion.
Girlies who say that they're not going to gatekeep on TikTok and then proceed to take 15 fucking minutes to get their recommendation out. I'd rather you gatekeep it.
I know.
I'd rather you keep that one snug, actually. Spit. Use your words. Spit it out.
Yeah.
Come on.
I will say, you're very to the point, which are hitting a bit shit.
I have to be. It's mortifying. I don't understand. You know, when I was 12, I decided I wanted a lip gloss. I didn't want any old lip gloss. And this is, I have found, guys, I have found the best mascara that will not smudge, not cake, not budge, not run. Not, okay, curl, cool. I found it. I can't believe how I found it. I was on the other day. It was literally Tuesday. I was walking down the street.
Oh, girl. Yeah, I've seen them. Yeah.
Girl.
I know. It's just it, like, what about me-ism about it? And, like, I think that it explains why there's so many fucking podcasts, because people just want want to talk.
Is that someone the other day like, I promise I won't start a podcast? I forget what it was, and they were like, I promise I won't start a podcast.
Yeah. It explains like,
even
that.
Even maybe no one.
Oh, no. It's just it. Oh, it's, yeah, no. I agree.
And again, it's like, it's not even, I love the way I put on an American accent. It's generally, most of the time, it's fucking Irish people. I'm like, come on.
Yeah, yeah.
And the best banks ever. I found the most sucky in, and I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, nope. Still sitting here. If I'm still sitting here 30 seconds later without having some semblance of what's going on, we're done.
Yeah, we're done.
You're done.
You're done.
We're done. You're done.
I will say, that's after reminding me, just on our star here, Risa Tisa, if you are going to watch the series, you can put it on two speeds. Just hold down the screen on the left-hand side and it'll go faster, but then you're stuck to the phone, is the only thing.
The Lord's work.
You can't lock it in, though. The Lord's work. Yeah, you can't just leave it there.
You can. There's a way of doing it, and I only ever do it by accident. I only ever do it by accident. It's a nightmare.
You can lock it in.
Yeah, you can. And I only ever do it by an accident. It's a nightmare. And when I do it by accident, then it does it for every fucking video that I'm like, no.
Shit, I didn't know you could do that. Yeah, okay, but you could do it and still very much understand her. She is a slow talker. But like I said, it's not done in an annoying way. And she doesn't. Yeah. She doesn't hesitate. She's not an like, you know. She's quite good at it. She should have done a podcast series, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was thinking. I was like, well, she'll probably go on. So fucking call her daddy. You'll probably be on and be like, look, you need to tell me how. Where did you meet this man? We've all watched it.
You don't like Alex. You don't like
again. No, it's not my interview style.
No, I know.
No.
But she's asking questions basically after the fact. She's like, we know.
She talks over all of her guests consistently too. I'm like, so do you want them to tell you the story, or do you want to tell the story from what you know and everything? Like, let them finish a sentence, then form another one. It's kind of like basic manners.
Very true. Very true. You'll stick hopefully we'll be back in person next week, Carla. Hopefully, fingers crossed, no hiccups.
No hiccups.
So we'll go back to getting banned by putting the sound bites in, but for now you're just gonna add one to the playlist. That'll be in the show. Know yourself. We're on Patreon as well. So all the links, the usual links will be down below. I'll have a little look. And
we're about to record a very cool, people loved Patreon last week. If you haven't signed up to our Patreon, I go through all 74 pages of Jerry Halliwell's fella's texts to his assistant. And we also go through everything that's happening with Tradwives and what that means and what that's looking like at the moment.
Well, a few, the specific ones, Nara Smith and... Fuck, the one that I fucking sent you. She makes them bleed and colour in books.
I know.
What the fuck? And I'm like, how do you even have them egg cartons? You're supposed to have chickens out the back that lay our fucking eggs. So where did the egg cartons come from, you bleeding tick, have you ever found yourself so lazy that you couldn't go to the store to get some paper? And then I felt like email or fucking commenting on it going, well, I'd never run out of colour in books, so I'm better than you.
Yeah, Mr. Price.
Exactly. Few. Sure, go on. Hope you enjoyed, and we will talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.